is the Amp Hour, recorded June 6th, 2011. Episode 46, Claudish Collegiate Conversations.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gammel from Chris Gammel's Analog Life.
Hey Chris, how's it going?
Good, Dave. How's the bub?
The bub's terrific, and I think I'm awake.
All right, good.
I guess we'll find out if you suddenly hear a thud against the microphone. That's me falling into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't quite snore, but
yeah, you're not a coffee drinker yet, right?
No, I'm not a coffee drinker.
You never know. Babies weird things to parents. I mean,
not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's all fun. It's all good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't trade it for anything.
Good. That's great.
I think most parents
situation.
Say that. Wouldn't trade it. You know, shit, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, yeah, you're not at the worst moment right now either. You're not like up to your
exactly.
your elbows and, you know, baby poop or anything.
Or just, chasing them around 24/7. Really.
Right. You got to wait for that.
At the moment, you just stick them there and they just either go to sleep or cry. You know
that actually
fine.
Works when they're older too. All you need, roll of duct tape.
Right. Roll of duct tape and a cage.
Yeah. Oh, a cage works too.
So they can't get out and destroy the place, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Or a soldering iron, eventually, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That won't keep them in place, but it'll put them in place if they,
well,
they act
it'll
up.
It'll keep them amused for 10 minutes, won't it?
That's true, yeah.
That's the whole idea. You just keep giving them stuff until they're tired of it, and then
there you go.
Go on to the next item.
Yep.
Excellent.
So it's a little more spacious in here, I got to say. There's some room to stretch my elbows in this new server we've got going on.
Oh, yes, the new server. I did that on a whim last night. I should have been working and getting some real stuff done. But, a few people complained that the forum was going slowly and stuff. So I checked into it, and it turns out, Amp Hour, it's just too darn popular.
What is with these listeners?
Oh, I don't know. All these bloody listeners leeching our audio files. How dare you?
I know. Is that how we set it up to happen?
Oh, I don't know.
You know, we could go to like SoundCloud
they're leeching
or something.
Us to the tune of 350 gig per month. Go figure.
That's nothing these days.
Bastards.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was putting a drain on the poor old server, and I... on a whim, just got a new one because the special was ending that night, you see.
Oh,
They had a renew special. You can get a whole new server for, you know, $4 a month. Woohoo!
Yeah,
excellent.
That's good.
So I signed up again.
People were asking about if we don't need any money for that. So it's we appreciate the offers from everyone.
No, it's fine. But, I worked it out. It's 0.2 cents per month per person or something. So
yeah. We'll probably be okay. And we're here to offer our 2 cents, right? Not so much the other way around.
Exactly. That's what we're here for. We're here to give you a dime.
Yep. Well, that's good. It's hopefully, if people have issues, you know, let us know. But hopefully it'll be nice and seamless. Dave is an IT master now. I mean,
I am the database Zen master. Absolutely. Yep. Except when I upload files to the wrong subdirectory. Because I copied what you do when you move a server, if anyone doesn't know, you copy, first thing you do is copy all the files from your, you know, obviously from the subdirectory on one server onto your hard drive, then you upload it back onto the server, plus you copy the database and then you move it over and then you've got to tweak a few database things to make it work. Anyway, I uploaded all the files and I tweaked the database and uploaded that and got it all, I thought it should have worked. And on my vast experience of moving databases, I've done it 3 or 4, 5 times now or something. So I'm vastly experienced. And it's just nothing. I just got a blank page. And, I was scratching my head. Oh, what have I done? So naturally, the engineer in me just thinks the worst, you know, or thinks the most creative thing that can
go
wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of,
aliens.
You know, instead of like checking the power supply voltage, something stupid like that. No, I dive straight into that database.
It was cosmic rays.
It must have been.
Yeah.
And I start editing these individual database bloody entries, trying to get this thing working and modifying PHP files and,
what a mess.
Yeah.
Always back up your files, people.
And it still didn't work. And, I just uploaded the files to one subdirectory higher, so it couldn't see shit, and that's why I got a blank page.
Yeah.
Oh, joy.
And that's why the site's down, if people were wondering the other day, but yeah, I didn't notice and didn't hear anyone.
All of last night, it was down for like 6 hours until I was
finally
figured out I was stupid and shouldn't really operate a computer or a server.
Had your license revoked.
Exactly. Anyway, someone, next time, stop me.
Yeah.
I've been seriously changing servers willy-nilly. It's crazy.
Willy-nilly.
Is that a U.S. term? Willy-nilly?
Yes, I think that's pretty universal.
Willy-nilly? Okay, good. Yep. We haven't had a little U.S. Australia thing there for a while, have we? Probably last week.
It's been a while. Bub is the one that got me. I don't know if we talked about that last time, but people call babies bub in the U.S. That's why I said it,
Yeah, but it's not... bub, we do say that here. So we, if you say the word bub, we know what you mean.
And if you say bub, in the U.S.,
bub, hey, bub.
Yeah, exactly. Say, hey, bub, get on my taxi. You know?
Exactly.
Hey, bub, it's $25. Anyway.
isn't that like a East Coast, New York kind of saying? Am I wrong there?
I'm in the middle. I couldn't tell you. In the
Hicksville.
Middle, it's just, I'm hungry.
Chris is from Hicksville.
I'm hungry. Give me more corn.
Right. Oh, I love
Flip the channel. Where's the cheese puffs? That's what I say every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this server stuff is pretty darn obvious if you just sit down and do the math. What is the size of an average MP3 file for this episode? Like 30 meg?
30
or
meg,
something?
Yep.
Yeah, multiply that by 2,000 people by four times a month, and there's your 300 gig. It's duh.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, It's not hard. So, maybe I figure now that we've only got the amp hour on this dedicated server, we're probably good for maybe 6,000-8,000, not viewers, listeners.
Listeners. And you know what? We will issue a challenge. Everybody should tell their friend to listen and try and crash our server by listening too much.
Yes.
That is,
do it. Crash that bastard.
If you do it, that's a happy problem.
If you do it, we'll give you a free shout out.
There you go.
Yeah. That's about the only thing we can offer here on the Amp Hour.
Listener,
right.
Speaking of shout-outs, we should get to those, huh?
Yeah, shout-outs, go it. We've only got one.
We only got one, that's right. I'm going to butcher this because he's from Spain, but Daniel Garrido?
Better than me.
Yeah. Daniel Garrido from Spain.
That's nowhere near the hardest we've ever had.
No, definitely not. No.
That's pretty easy.
But his site, too, it's in Spanish, but it translates well. Google Translate, rocking it like usual.
Right.
And it does a good translation. But the Iapero tech? I took French in school. I'm sorry, folks. Nothing to it. Anyways, he put a picture and a link to the Amp Hour, and we always like that. So thanks a lot, Daniel. That is awesome.
Thank you.
And I always like seeing it, the fact
that...
Right, you
get a bit of a kick, dude.
What's that? No, not like that. I mean, I was going to say he has a lot of code on his site because he works with Arduinos and other things. And, people that are non-native English speakers that code in English, it just always blows my mind. I think that's so cool. I mean, I feel kind of bad. Like, it's like, oh, well, you got to learn that. But, I mean, it's almost like...
Well, that's just the way it is,
I know.
If you want to be a pilot, you've got to learn English. It's the international language of...
Really?
Yeah. If you go into any airport in the world, you must speak to the control tower in English.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
There you go. Trivia for today.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm.
Yeah, so,
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you very much, Daniel. And we got some news, too.
He's got a normal first name.
I think
normal is from our... Everything's always from an individual's perspective.
Right.
It's from our Western...
It's a biblical
white trash
first
Western
name.
Perspective,
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So news. We got news, too.
Oh, yes. The Open Source Hardware Summit is on again. Has it been a year?
It has been a year, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I will
not
be going this year.
Although, things have changed. New server, new baby. Jeez.
Yep. And Chris won't be going because that's the day he's getting married.
Oh, there you go.
So, I can't make that one, folks. Sorry.
Ah, well.
People are looking for entry. So if people have open source hardware projects or ideas or anything else like that, you can submit it. We'll link the site. But, you know, they're asking, and they're going to have breakout sessions this time. So they're looking for things like past projects, manufacturing tips, development of distribution, fabrication, all this other stuff. So if you got any of that stuff, you know, give them a shout. Maybe you can present there. I'm not sure if they have funding to actually get you there, but
I doubt it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right before
I think it's a minimal budget kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you were, you know, the Woz or someone like that.
Yeah, maybe who the people who need it the least.
the least, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I can say, I mean, I talked about this last year. We were on, like, our, I think, like, 9th episode last year when we started, or when this
was
going on.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a ton of fun. And just all those people in the same room, it was really cool. So definitely check it out. And as they say, you know, it's getting a lot bigger, too. So this could be another year of big things being announced. So,
well, it's only the second year, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, only the second year.
Well, I could say it's still going anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be bigger and better than last year. I mean, it was pretty big last year, but...
Yeah, it was about 400 people last year, I think. And,
getting married on that day is no excuse, by the way. Surely you can Skype it in from the Elvis Chapel in Vegas. Come on. Surely. Yeah.
I don't think that would work.
Show some dedication to your profession. Come on.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I thought about that. It's like, oh, crap. Well, let's see, get married on a Saturday. Sunday will probably be kind of busy still. But Monday, I could probably record the amp hour. I've honestly thought about that. I was like, oh, how am I going to work that in? And then we'll see if that one works out. I might need to call in the reinforcements. Give Mr. Kaiser a call.
I think we might have to.
Yeah.
Love it.
So also on the open source hardware front, Bree Pettis, the guy who's in the front man for MakerBot, he's actually going to be on the Colbert Report, which, if people don't know, is a fake news reporting program in the U.S.
That's a pretty big deal, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've seen – there was actually a really good interview with Dean Kamen on the Colbert Report. And if I could find the clip, I'll try and link it in here. But the Dean Kamen was talking about this new water purification technology that DECA Research had just come up with. And so they're showing two tanks of water, one dirty, one clean. And so then Stephen Colbert, who has the show sponsored by Doritos, dumps the Doritos into the dirty side. He's like, there's no way you're keeping that delicious nacho flavor out of the other side or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome. Nice. Yeah, so... I mean, they get big people on there, so, I mean, the fact that Bree's going on there, that's a big deal. So that's great for him.
I assume they're going to talk about are they going to talk about open source hardware, or are they going to talk about the MakerBot?
I'm sure both.
Well, it's all one of the same, isn't it? So,
yeah, I think
really,
I've seen other interviews with Bree before, and he usually prints something small, like a whistle or something like that. You know, something that's very friendly for presentations and less likely to mess up.
Yeah, exactly.
And, it's good, though. You know, mainstream is good. Even if it doesn't bring people in to work on it, even that kind of exposure, you know, so then more Kickstarter funding comes through or whatever, however else it's going to happen, that kind of exposure is good. So good on him.
I agree. That's awesome.
Yep.
Hey, if you're watching, have fun. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or listening, because that's what people do for the
amp
hour.
What people do when you have a radio show and not a video blog.
Dave has a tough time transitioning.
Oh, I do. It's tough. Listeners, viewers, such a difficult concept.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep. All right.
So that's the news for this week.
Yes.
The teletypes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if people have news, they can always write in, too. So
you can.
Yeah. So what should we talk about this week? I just resorted the list to get it into... talking about this kind of stuff.
Well, on the subject of the server change, I did rejig the forum as well. I've just expanded it, added extra topics, and I do have the domain name lurking out there as a separate thing. I've been thinking about moving the forum over to that, but then I ruin all my search engine optimization. All that sort of
so you're just
stuff.
Saying that if people go to EEV forum, they can get
forum.com, they will be
good. Yeah, because we linked people there last week, and I think I used that link as well, too. So.
Right.
That's good.
Because do you want to know how this happened? Here's a rant.
Okay.
This came, but you're probably not aware of this, but I'm on the Altium forum, which is a private, closed forum only to customers of Altium Designer, my former company. And I, you know, it's shit. I mean, their forum is quite, everyone says it. Go check, well, you can't check it out unless you're a member, I guess. Uh-huh. But yeah, it is absolute shit. It's written in Morphic, which is a company they acquired.
Morphic?
Yes, Morphic. It's an Australian company, coincidentally run by former Altium people and good buddies of the CEO of Altium. Nice. So, yeah, there were nothing involved there, I'm sure. and anyway, they bought Morphic, and Morphic have their own. Morphic is a development package for writing web-enabled applications and all that sort of shit. It's very niche, very obscure kind of package. And, yeah, they decided to write their own forum instead of, you know, instead of using, you know, PHP, BBS, all of the open source ones, Simple Machine forums, and vBulletin, which is the most popular, you know. Things people have been spending a decade writing and refining, and everyone loves these forums and know how they work. But no, Altium, in their infinite wisdom, decide to write their own, and it sucks. And it will, you know, they can refine it for the next 10 years, and it will still won't be better than one you can just install with a single click from one of these open source ones. Anyway, I digress.
yeah, you did.
anyway, it sucks. And everyone's been talking about, you know, having a proper separate Altium forum that's Google indexable and actually works and is usable, right?
Yeah.
And open to everyone.
So, like, if a beginner came in and they wanted to, and they were starting to use Altium, then they could say, oh, well, I'll go to this forum instead of the one I have to register for, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, well, not register, but, yeah, you've got to pay, well, you have to be a paying customer to be part. Anyway, it's not Google indexable, and it's not very flexible, and everyone hates it, and everyone's leaving because they don't want to use it. So, yeah, I thought I would start altiumforum.com. So I registered the domain name, altiumforum.com, and I installed Simple Machines Forum. I had it all up and running in like an hour. No problems at all. No biggie. You know, here it is. Yeah. Everyone start using it. And Altium took offense to not me setting up the forum, although I know they really ultimately don't like that because it's competition for them. But, you know, tough tits.
Let me guess, they didn't like you using their name.
They didn't like the word Altium in the domain name.
Yep.
And they sent a cease and desist email.
So you did.
Polite one. So, yeah, I didn't want to argue the point. Yeah, whatever. Okay, you're being a dick. Fine, you know. And then I thought, oh, shall I get a new name? And, oh, it was all too hard. And so I decided, no, I'll just fold it into my existing forum. So I generated a new EDA category, which has all the packages on there. So if you want to talk about the packages, Eagle or Altium or PCAD or, you know, JITA, KiCad, anything like that, there's a forum there for
you. A young forum, yeah.
Yes, a young, yeah, I've got to move some questions over to, so it makes it look like it's, you know, give it some content to kickstart it.
Yep.
But yeah, it's anyway, that's how it came about, because Altium decided to cease and desist me.
Hmm.
So there you go. That was fun. That was a bit of fun.
Well, on the topic of boards and board software, I had an item on here about auto routers, and I think we've talked about it before on here.
Yeah, this is an old link you've got here too. This was somebody did this when I did my blog rant on auto routers.
Right. So there's a link to I forget who it is, Silicon Farmer maybe on Twitter, and. Yep. So we were going back and forth and just talking about it on Twitter, just talking about auto routers and are they worth it? And then someone brought up the fact that you actually had talked about, you know, a side-by-side comparison, and they're actually out there. But Wendell from Evil Mad Scientist Laboratories actually mentioned a new one that's out there. I'm not sure if it's new. It's called Topo Router or Topo Router.
Yep.
Have you seen that software ever?
I haven't used it. I've heard about it.
It's really interesting if you look at it. So it's like it's all based on algorithm. You know, it's all algorithmic, which I realize all auto routers are algorithmic. But this is like it's almost like more loopy looking. You know, like it's very
Loopy looking.
It's like loopy looking. It's like, it's not very, I don't know how to explain it. It's not intuitive, but it seems like it works better.
right.
So, I don't know. I thought it was interesting and worth calling out this topper router stuff. And it's like it's kind of expensive. You know, it's like $5,000, I think, for like a license for it. But it's like a third party tool actually from, board software package. So, you know, you have to work that in there too. But at the same time, if you can, you know, if this thing can route a BGA package in 2 hours where it might take you, you know, 2 days, then, you know, maybe that's worth it. So.
It's funny. I'm having a look at the images now, and it looks like instead of using a grid-based system, it actually routes it like you would by hand, and like as in like a freehand drawing with like the old-fashioned tape stuff. If you ever laid out stuff with tapes like. on the old clear cellophane stuff, that's before your time, Chris.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it actually though. If you know, I pulled apart my old Techscope. And but I see the boards in there and that kind of stuff. I
and mean, they're taped out. You know, hence the word tape out. Well, they still use that in terms of ASIC and stuff like that.
Right. But so that's what I meant by loopy. You know, like so less you know 90-degree angles and
there's no 90-degree. It's just you know it isn't based on a grid, and I hate that. It looks horrid. You know, unless it's done by hand, and then it kind of looks artistic, like in the old Techscopes and stuff like that. They can be quite nice. This just looks like it was done by a child.
But who cares about artistic? It's about, I mean, I understand
wash your mouth out. PCBs are works of art. Thank you very much.
Whatever. I think from a utility standpoint, PCBs, you know, if you can trace if you can follow it easily, that's an important thing. So that, from a grid perspective...
In terms of layout and functional tracing,
But if this, I mean, if this saves you a lot of time, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to in that conversation we were having on Twitter, too, is like, you know, you should get you always get your critical stuff done first, but then after that, it's just like, who cares? You know, I just want it done, so click the button, right? That's what it always comes down to.
If you don't take pride in your work or you
take
a tight
pride
deadline.
In your time.
Hey,
yeah, time.
You know, I use auto routers, too, but I use them in very specific... Yeah. Circumstances. You know, everyone thinks the auto router is magic and you can just place down your components and hit
you've
got a finished board. It's bullshit.
I agree with that. And that's all placement anyways. That's where the real magic comes in, right? We've talked about that before.
Routing is 90% placement. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Anyways, I think this software I think it's cool. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's just
it's
yet
it.
Another auto router. I mean, there's some very good auto routers out there.
Yeah.
Altium's not one of them.
Yeah. And I've used the Eagle one before. It's like, it's very blocky, but it's not the worst. I mean,
it's not the worst from an algorithm point of view. The Altium one actually went backwards. It used to be quite reasonable, and then they bought a company's technology, and then they put that in and promoted it as the whiz bang latest, and it just ruined it.
Yeah.
Great work there. But no, there are some very good. Auto routers out there, not necessarily doing the whole board, but doing, you know, some aspects of boards. There's some very good ones that fan out BGAs nicely. There are other ones that, you know, do differential pairs nicely and stuff like that. So
that's another important one. I mean, that's the nice thing about it too, is like if you have a constraint thing where you can just put in, well, I need, you know, a 50 ohm match impedance here, and it knows that, then that's a lot easier than trying to hand do it, right? I mean, a lot of
CAD but packages often will a lot constrain of your- that. Time is spent setting up the auto router. You know, once again, an auto router is 90% setup, and 10% is where you hit the go button and it does the job, and then you tidy it up.
Yeah.
So, you got to put a lot of effort in to make these things work well.
Yeah.
But as somebody showed on that other link you've got there, which you might link in, he did an Eagle board, and it's not bad.
Yeah.
Somebody routed an Eagle board out. This was when I did my blog. He just went, the Eagle one's not bad. Here's an example. And, it's not bad. You know, there will be cases when they actually work just fine.
Yeah.
But other cases, you know, they'll just be totally useless.
Yep.
What can you do? Anyway, auto routers, I'm not a fan unless you know how to use them. My argument in my blog back in number 93,
So long ago.
I didn't
ago.
Pull that off the top of my head.
Yeah, I know it's listed there.
It is. Yeah. what was my comment going to be? Jeez.
I have no idea.
Yes.
You don't use it if you're a beginner. Is that kind of the idea?
Don't use it if you're a beginner.
Yeah.
An auto router is a tool, a very advanced tool for advanced PCB designers. If you're a
That's
beginner
right.
and you use it, well, you shouldn't be. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you should learn to drive the car before you start using the auto parking mechanism,
yep.
right?
Exactly. That's why I think there shouldn't even be an auto routing tool in Eagle. It's a hobbyist level package.
Oh, well, not
and yet they've
to
put
them.
All this work into, you know.
Yeah.
They've put this work into an autorouter, and they continue to refine it and stuff like that, but that takes away from development resources to work on the real package, you know?
Yeah.
The actual layout package itself. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Mm.
I don't know. And then these open source ones, they've got free, they work on autorouters as well. Why?
I think
because spend all your time working on the user interface and the functionality of the base package.
I think it's because it's such a fun algorithmic problem.
It's a fun thing. Yeah, I know. I can.
It's like, how do I? It's like a puzzle solver, right? It's very mathy. You know,
yeah.
It's less graphical. It's more math based, and yeah, I could see that. That's probably a ton of fun to try and solve.
Yeah, but, it's fun to work on as if you're a programmer and you're working on this thing for fun. You're not getting paid to work on it, so
yeah,
I can understand. But still, it'd be better if you know. Because where the open source packages like Jita and KiCad fall down is their user interface is not nearly as good and not nearly as refined as the commercial packages. So that's where they really need their work focused, I guess.
Probably boring to work on.
Anyway, there you go. Auto routers.
So you think students and newcomers shouldn't really use auto
Absolutely.
Routers. That's the final word.
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
So speaking of students, we have an item on here about college life. And you and I had talked after the show a while back about the differences, the cultural differences between college in the U.S. and college in Australia.
It's not even called college in Australia.
Well, what's it called there?
University.
Oh, university. Wow. Well,
university. Okay, that's uni, it's called.
Uni.
We shorten it to uni.
Yeah.
As we do, we shorten everything.
Yeah.
You know.
And so you were, I forgot what we were talking about. I think we were talking about it from like a lifestyle standpoint more. Like the fact that U.S. students kind of go off and try and pretend to living on their own, but are actually, you know, living in these dorms.
Dormitories.
And, yeah.
Right. Are they called dormitories?
Yeah.
Dorm. Yeah, dorm, right?
Yeah, dorms.
Yeah.
Yep. Dorm life.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. That's the thing that we're bombarded with on TV for, you know, well, since ever, right? Since they started showing that sort of stuff on TV, we being Australians and other countries, see that lifestyle. That's the typical US lifestyle, is that everyone leaves home to go to college,
yeah.
You know? And that's just doesn't happen here, really.
So what's the difference?
It's very rare. The difference is here... you typically stay, you actually live with your parents still, or you might even, you know, rent with some friends somewhere, but you stay close to home and you go to the university, which is closest to you. You don't go, I'm going to do engineering and MIT's the best, so I'm going to go all the way across the country to go to MIT. You know, we don't do that. It's very rare for someone to do that, unless you're like out in the middle of the sticks and there is no university and then you have to leave.
Yeah.
Or there's only one choice there and, you know, you really want engineering, but your university in Armidale or somewhere doesn't do it.
Hmm.
Then you have to move. But apart from that, no, you make your choice based on not necessarily the nearest, but each major city, like Sydney, we might have four universities, I think.
Uh-huh.
Macquarie, Sydney, to four or five. Five, yes. Yeah, so you just choose the one that, you know, suits you the best within your geographic location. That's it. And you typically, you don't go live on campus because there's not much. Some universities don't even have dorms. Or if they do, they're very small. The numbers are limited and it costs a lot of money. And only the overseas students, because we've got a big percentage of overseas students come here to study. And they're the ones who live in the dorms.
We have that too. A lot of overseas students, especially in engineering programs.
Right, yes. So the local students, they don't go to dorms. They stay home with their parents, or they rent with their friends on the beach somewhere or something like that.
Oh, that's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt U.S. and Australia are different. I'm sure it's different in other parts of the world too, like Europe and Africa and everywhere else. But I don't know. I was interested by that. I don't know if other people have input on what their college experience was like, or if they didn't even do college or anything else like that. But you know, I thought that was interesting hearing about the fact that, you know, because college is in the U.S. is so dorm based.
Yes.
And, but I don't know.
And very lifestyle based with your fraternities and stuff like that. Yeah. We don't have fraternities here.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's a totally foreign concept. Yeah. So. Mm.
And then there's always the option. There's this new option. Do you see this news about the Peter Thiel, the guy that started PayPal? So the Peter Thiel, the one of the biggest investors in PayPal, and now he's doing stuff with Facebook. If you saw like the Social Network or followed Facebook. Basically, he's got this new thing. I think it's going to be a yearly thing, but he's offering $100,000 to students in order to drop out of school.
saying that,
hey, I guess you really don't need school. You know, kind of school of hard knocks and just go start a business. So
that's fantastic. Love it.
I love it too. I think it's a really cool idea. And someone made a really good point about it. It's like if you fail, you can always just go back and do college anyways, which is a great point. I have to say, though, if someone came up to me and said, and maybe it would just be that I wasn't the right kind of person to do this kind of thing, but if someone came up to me when I started college and said, here's $100,000, go, you know, go start a business, I would have been like, and just sat there I'm sure that a lot of them are students who already have businesses, you know, but, things that can be turned into businesses.
Yeah.
But, man, that's crazy. Exactly.
Ah, it's great. I would have jumped at it. It's fantastic.
And he's talking about high school, too. So $100,000 can drop out of high school, too.
Okay. Yeah.
And excellent. Start businesses.
Why not?
I'm sure he wouldn't
just give it to anyone as a, you know, you'd have to show some promise, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a application process, too. So
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sure, it's highly vetted. So, and the other thing I wanted to comment on with the college lifestyle thing is that really you guys seem to make a big deal of which college is best, you know, which college is better,
reputation
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's how we got started talking about it, because you're right, there is a, you know,
and I think that's the whole rivalry thing, not even rivalry
but just from a hiring perspective, certain schools get a lot more recruitment from them. Like MIT, you go to an MIT job fair, that's going to be a lot different than a Cleveland State job fair. You know, I love Cleveland State. They have some great engineers, but the fact is that the industry just doesn't see them the same way.
Yep.
So,
and that's totally the opposite here. Nobody really gives a shit which university you went to. They literally don't care.
So how do they? I mean, is it just based on interview stuff then? I mean, because you have
it's purely based on your attitude. Your personal attitude.
But certain programs must have high, like, there's no, like, difference in engineering. I mean, there's got to be a difference in engineering programs just based on resources,
There are differences between the individual unis in terms of their courses, of course. And, and some might specialize in certain things which may help you get a job because you've got experience in that sort of thing. You know, I've worked on solar cell research, you know, at certain universities, so you know you'll easily get a job in the solar research industry as opposed to someone who just did some generic thing and you did mainly software or something like that. So it's certainly that, but not from a rep point of view, it just doesn't really happen here.
I mean, it's less so for engineering, I think, than business schools. Like, business schools, I've heard that if you don't do top 10 to get an MBA, it's like you don't even bother, right?
Right. Okay.
Engineers can still learn a lot at other schools, but you get different experiences, definitely.
Yep.
And different recruiting, for sure. I mean, that's another thing, so.
They do actually try to make them standardized here. The engineering I'll only talk about engineering. The Engineering Institute of Australia, they try and make the courses all very similar. So that's, you know, they don't force them to, but they encourage the different universities to all cover the same base stuff. So, yeah, they tend to be fairly similar.
That's interesting.
And also, we don't have anything in terms of scholarships, right? Well, there are scholarships here, but they're incredibly rare. They're pretty darn rare to get a scholarship here, whereas it seems like every second person in the U.S. gets a scholarship.
I think that's right? Probably a bit more of a
right,
misconception.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, but that's the impression we get, is that scholarship. Well, I'm sure they're an order of magnitude more in terms of the percentage of people in a particular school would have scholarships, would be an order of magnitude more than us, at least, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Just because there's more money poured into it and there's more money involved and there's...
Yeah, I mean, if the prices are higher, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the case too. A lot of engineering students or any kind of students, you know, you can't go to school unless you get that stuff. I mean, financial aid is
a
huge thing here. I mean, I couldn't have gone to school if I didn't take out money or get grants or anything like that.
See, we can here because we have a government sponsored thing where the government will effectively pay for it for you, and then you pay them back slowly once you start work.
Yeah,
that's how it works here. So.
Yeah.
As long as you can, yeah. So you don't, you know, you do have to have some money to pay for it, but basically the government do that for you.
Yeah.
You've got to pay for your books and stuff like that, and you know. But the actual fees themselves are government paid for.
That's another difference, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. And we don't have sports scholarships and stuff like that, you know. I mean,
well,
just doesn't really happen, you know.
That's its own,
there's a lot of universities over there that are all, you know, sports, you know, the college football. We have nothing like that here.
Well, yeah.
You know. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, you know, there might be a little group who play, you know, football or something like that. But, yeah, it's nothing like the US.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and a scholarship to go play football at a college is just... unheard of here. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We said that before. Football's the same here and there. Because it's not the same in Europe. It's European football is
football
different.
Football is a round ball, yes, which we call soccer.
Yeah.
We don't call that football here. Football is with an oval-shaped ball.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's mostly done with the hands and running and crashing into each other, not actually using the foot.
Gotcha. So, if people need money for school, there's another way that it could happen, not just scholarships. There's actually...
Go to Australia and government pays for it. Yay.
Oh,
you could go to Australia. Just move to Australia and the government will... Yep.
That's another option.
That's why all these boat people trying to come here, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, you wouldn't know about that. That's local news.
Right. Yeah. I was going to talk about this new competition from DIY Drones. Did you hear about that?
No, do tell.
Oh, yeah, there's this...
I haven't heard much. I just... play with the baby and, you know, that's about it.
He basically is locked inside his house.
I pretty much am now. It's quite depressing.
That's what happens, buddy.
I know. It's this consulting gig, too.
Yeah.
I've been working my butt off on that.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in a little bit. But first, there's this DARPA. So DARPA, which is Army or Defense...
Advanced Research Projects Agency.
That's right, yeah. And they're the ones that started ARPANET, which is now the internet, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, they have a competition. So if you create an unmanned aerial vehicle that's cost than $10,000 and can be carried in a rucksack, and that's a quote. They said rucksack.
Right, rucksack.
Yeah, basically they're going to have 10 winners, and then they're going to have like a performance competition. And then the winner gets $100,000, and then they can get up to a $2 million contract after that. So if there's any UAV experts out there, I think they have to be quadcopters. I'm not sure if they're exactly quadcopters, but...
You probably couldn't fit it in a... Well, you could fit a regular plane, like a wing-based one, but the wings would have to fold and,
true.
You'd have to spend time setting it up, whereas a quadcopter, you could just whip it out and press go, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine a quadcopter being more, you know, stable for a given size and stuff like that. Whereas if you've got a small, lightweight plane, it's probably, I don't know, I'm sure. Well, we might be talking out our ass again, which we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah.
We got taken to task for, rightly so, last week.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Nah, let's just go right into that. How about that?
Yeah, let's just go right into that. So, yeah, we don't need to talk about the DARPA.
Yeah, it is about moving contest. Parts again, though. How about that? So not just a quadcopter.
Yes,
but
it is.
Turns out that a camshaft is not what the hell we meant.
No, that well, you. I'm going to blame you because
I blame
you
too. Yeah.
That it was a drive shaft.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mind just wasn't engaged, and you said camshaft like 10 times, so my brain just ran with it, so I blame you.
Yes. Right. So a camshaft is what actually controls the I want to be careful here, the intake valves.
Dude, you just got to screw it in.
An internal combustion engine. I'm sorry for all the car buffs out there. I don't even change my own oil, and I know I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of shit for that too, but... Yeah, I'm not a car
camshaft
person.
Is bits within the engine itself.
The inner bits. It's like if you're looking at a chip, it's where the electrons flow, right? If you're looking at an engine, it's where the it's where the go juice flows.
So, oh, this is brilliant! Just keep digging. You'll make it all the way to China.
I will say that I have been listening. Someone asked me what one of my favorite podcasts is, and it is a podcast that's a radio show also. It's called Car Talk from NPR. It's these two guys up in Boston, and they are some of the funniest dudes ever. And that is a great. I know nothing about cars, and I still enjoy the podcast so much. So people should check that one out too.
That's the same thing with me and Top Gear. I don't give a shit about cars at all. Yeah. But I love Top Gear. It's one of my favorite shows because the guys are freaking awesome.
I know, exactly. So, you know, and yeah. So who cares, right? You learn a little bit of auxiliary knowledge from that.
Yeah, you learn a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so that's
right. But obviously not enough to talk about drive shafts.
Thank God I never called
Speaking
into that
of which,
show.
Malcolm Fade, if I'm actually pronouncing his last name, F-A-E-D, who wrote an article in Silicon Chip magazine, he built his own electric ute, hybrid ute, truck, as you call it in the US.
Ute.
And he's got access to a new Mitsubishi iMiEV, is it called? And he offered me a test drive in it. Well,
nice.
He offered to take me around, and I'm not sure if I'm actually allowed to get behind the wheel because I'm probably not covered.
Right.
But anyway, he offered that, but it has to be this week, so I've got to tee up some time this week to actually do that. And he does listen, and I haven't even replied to your email. Sorry, Malcolm, but yes, I am interested.
don't offer it to anyone else. Me. I have a
baby.
And
he's got a bike as well.
Nice.
A fully electric bike. Well, he doesn't have it. He's working on it, so he can show us that too. So that may be on the blog.
Yeah, that'd
perhaps.
Be great.
So hopefully I'm allowed to like open the bonnet and have a look at the battery packs and the motor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
can I just tear apart
at the
your
very
whole car
least,
now?
I wouldn't like to just drive around it and go, it's a car and it's got a fancy dash and that's about it.
Yeah. So
dash?
Are you,
is that a US word?
Dash too,
dash?
Yeah. We do dash, right. Don't worry. Yeah. So you're going to have time with all your new consulting gig? I mean, how's that going?
Hopefully, that's going flat out at the moment because I'm trying to meet my first milestone. I was hoping to finish yesterday, but milestone, and then take a couple of days off and actually get some stuff done, like actually do a blog and go see Malcolm's car and, add many other field trips I've been promising various people and myself that I was going to do. You know, a visit to Farnell's. I've got a cow lab I want to go to. I've been invited to.
So
I want a tour of that. There's a couple of other tours and people I want to talk to for the blog. So there'll be lots of, hopefully, if I get time, lots of field stuff. You won't see me in the shop too often.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Get out and get some fresh air. And I guess
that's right. I certainly need it. So.
Yeah. Also, I mean, it's getting kind of colder there, huh? It's probably starting to turn into...
It is the middle of winter. Well, it's not the middle of winter. It's the start of winter. Yes, we are officially
winter.
In winter
I
here.
I always forget about that. Damn. Stupid world being round. What is up with that?
The planets, it's round. It's a globe and it tilts and
it's
the
just a theory.
Axis is tilted. And when it goes around the sun, it, you know, the sun heats up one part or the other.
I've heard about this, but I...
That's not heating our side at the moment.
Unsubstantiated evidence.
Right, okay. That's right, because you haven't actually flown around the world yet, have you? You don't actually know firsthand that
it
is actually
around. I have to see it with my own eyes.
I've flown around, and you do actually come back to the same point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can verify it.
Oh, you have? Okay. You've seen the curvature of the Earth and everything, so...
Oh, no, I haven't seen the curvature of the Earth.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Not firsthand, anyway.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. That's one of the things I want to do. That's one of my things on my list.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Well, get up in space? That's on your list?
The space would be awesome, but yeah, barring that, I'd love to go up to 80,000 feet, 100,000 feet, see the curvature of the Earth. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
So, I think you only have to go up to like 60,000 feet or something, but higher would be nice anyway.
So now you say feet. Why?
Feet, yes. Why? Because that's an aeronautical term.
Really?
Yeah, that's... feet. Height of planes is always in feet.
Huh.
You don't talk in... Although they do, they try to metricate. If you go on the plane, they'll actually show you both feet and meters. You're at 30,000 feet, which is 10,000 meters. So that's the altitude that a 747 and most commercial airliners will actually cruise at is 10,000 meters or 33,000 feet. And feet is the internationally recognized, I think, aeronautical.
Well, that's weird because I was talking to another Aussie the other day, and he quoted me a board.
Please say Aussie again.
Aussie. Sorry, Aussie.
That's pretty good.
Is that better?
That's pretty ocker, I've got to say.
All right. He quoted me a board in 2 by 3 inches. He was talking about a board, and I was like, I was like, what? And he said, well, he's in the U.S. now, and he said he moved before the switch happened, and I didn't even realize that there ever was a switch. I mean,
there was indeed. We're from the English side of things,
imperial,
and we inherited their imperial system.
Yep.
And no, we switched in, when was it? The 60s, late 60s.
Late 70s, I think. Late 70s, early 80s.
It took a decade or more to actually do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
I think it officially started in the 60s.
Yeah, that's like when the legislation passed and everything.
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
I have to say, I'm really jealous about that. I know some people are big fans of Imperial units for some reason. Like, I was talking to a coworker, and I think he was joking with me, but. I think it's so stupid. I could switch over tomorrow and I wouldn't care.
Yeah,
but there's a great Wikipedia article about it. I'll switch it over or I'll link it over. But
how we changed.
Yeah,
we changed them as many countries have.
Yeah,
have all the smart countries have.
And the impressive thing and a really smart thing is like I think they said all of the road signs switched over in less than a month.
That's amazing. See, that's before my time. I was too young to remember that. So what year was that, do they say? I think it was...
74. So.
Yeah, see, I was only 2 years old then, so...
Yeah, and I mean, and that right there is a big deal, right? I mean, like, first off, that's a lot of signs, probably more in the U.S., but that's a lot of
A lot more in the U.S., yeah.
Yeah,
but still, that is a big job.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's so smart, though, because it's just like, well, you're going to learn it. Because you have to.
Yeah, here it is, bang.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and
It isn't just the occasional... And they didn't put both at the same time. I think they just ripped them down.
They did,
put them up.
Yeah.
They forced you to...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was...
Although we don't really have... We have less of the mileage thing that you do. I'm using a US term there, mileage.
Mileage.
Kilometers. You guys have signs on your highways, you know, it's 15 miles to Hicksville. And, 10 miles to Hicksville, 5 miles to Hicksville. And we don't really have that as much here. So there weren't nearly as many signs, let alone roads.
Well, you don't need a sign to the middle of nowhere, Dave.
That's
right. Yeah.
Yes, we actually have outback and wilderness and all that sort of shit.
Ew. Yeah, so do we. It's in the middle.
World Heritage even. Stick it up, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. I know. I was just flabbergasted.
We haven't totally, you know, spread all over the planet and ruined everything.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff out there is still original.
Yep. I was just amazed that, I should have figured that at some point it happened, but I was just amazed that there was people that from Australia that still use an imperial unit. So.
Yep.
Thought that was interesting. What about this?
That leads me on to something else.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Quick. No, hit it.
Anyway, we also changed our national anthem as well.
Oh, yeah?
We changed the Australian national anthem back when I was a kid.
Huh.
Because we used to be from England. It was God Save the Queen. You know. And, yeah, thank God we changed that. Because that was just shit. And now we've got an even shitter one, which is Advance Australia Fair, as you heard a couple of weeks back.
Yes, we all heard that one when Dave hijacked the editing process. Times.
That's right. Yeah, we actually changed to that. So we're, you know, no strangers to changing huge stuff like that.
Well, that's a good thing to be able to change. So,
I wish you guys... Well, no, see, you guys changed your currency to put God... what to put a God reference on all your currency against the Constitution, of course. But, you know, I can't see you guys changing that back now because it's just... Yeah. You guys don't make those big changes anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was thinking about with terms of metric. I just don't know. That's kind of like, it's like despair. It's like, and I love a metric based system, but I think about the logistics of it. And it's just like, God damn,
it's never going to happen. I can't. Yeah, I can't really blame you for putting it in the too hard basket. Really,
it's a tough problem.
You know, sometimes you've just got to do it.
Yeah, I agree. That's the only way to really... I mean, yeah, you just got to kind of...
Well, you guys probably can't just do it in one hit like we tried to. You know, well, even us, it took a decade to actually filter everything through. For you guys, it might take 30 years or something.
Yeah.
But you've got to start, you know. You've got to introduce it to the schools and, you know, get things and, I don't know, change the gas pumps. That'd really screw the Americans. People would start rioting in the streets with their guns and everything if you change the gas pumps.
Yep.
Right? That's probably the worst thing you could probably do. Actually, you could probably change everything else except the road signs and the gas pumps, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And people just wouldn't notice.
Right. Well, I mean...
I'm just stereotyping.
No, that's cool. I mean... All our booze is sold in milliliters, so maybe that's a good starting place. You know?
Oh, really? There you go.
Yeah, 750 milliliters. And
oh, okay. Well, that's a good start.
Yeah, that is good.
Start with beer.
And it's cheaper. I mean, it's... Well, not beer. Beer is double listed, but...
Oh, right.
But, like, straight booze is... Yeah.
Right.
So maybe someday, liquor will lead the way. The U.S. will finally be drunk in metric units.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So tell me about this this consulting stuff before we get into the chip of the week, because I wanted to hear about this.
What aspect of it?
What you were talking about? Yeah, what you've been working on, because you were talking about that before.
Well, I can't tell you the application.
No,
but,
just the problems you've been having.
Yeah, I know. The problems, I spent a couple of days searching for a lithium-ion battery charger chip, a suitable chip for a certain design. And... yeah, and I can tell you, here's a stat for you. I think there are 398 different lithium-ion battery charger chips on the market. I may have missed a couple, but let's round it up to 400.
Okay, so that's without all the variations in, like, package types and
lead-free. Just listed on the manufacturer's websites. And there are 22 different manufacturers, I think I'm quoting that from memory, because it's etched in there, 22 different manufacturers of lithium-ion battery chips.
Uh-huh.
And searching for something like this is not something you can do just on DigiKey or Mouser, as I've done a whole video blog and we've talked about before, the parametric search. Because I was searching for very specific stuff for a niche application.
Right, and that's a limitation of that too, because you can't search for, oh, well, I need it to be able to charge in 2 seconds, whatever the hell you're searching for.
Exactly. They won't have DigiKey and Mouser won't have that search capability. In my case, I wanted to search for a very low capacity battery, which is quite unusual. Most chips are designed for, you know, an amp or 2 amps, several amps.
Yeah.
You know, from the range several hundred milliamps up to several amps is the typical range where 80-90% of the parts are actually manufactured for.
Dave, are we talking amps or amp hours?
Amps.
Okay.
Because milliamp hours, I shortened it to,
okay. Capacity, I just wanted to get amp hour in there, hours. You know,
thank you.
Amp hours, you know.
Yep.
Amp hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I just shorten it because, you know, it's easier.
Right.
Anyway, everyone knows what I'm talking about. We're talking about, because I said up front, we're talking about capacity. So everyone should know, it's Dave's actually talking about milliamp hours. Right.
Coulombs
or
per
amp
hour times hour equals coulombs. That's capacity.
Exactly. Yep. So... Yeah, anyway, so this is a very low-capacity battery, which is very niche application. And also, it was a 4.1 volt battery, which uses a coke anode, it's called, as opposed to a graphite anode, which is 4.2 volts. And I'm going to have to do a blog on this, probably my next blog, because it's so on my mind.
Yeah.
That's probably what my next blog's going to be on. Anyway, and once again, like, you know, they're only about 90% of the parts out there are for 4.2 volts. So I had to search through and filter 4.1. Thankfully, that's an easy characteristic search. Most manufacturers will, you know, you can sort by 4.1, 4.2. So you can do a good first pass on that.
Yeah.
But then when you've got to go through and look at each individual data sheet to see if it can do the minimum current you require, that's not a parametric search.
No, looking through data sheets by itself is pretty rough.
And you learn to like flick through really quickly, and you know, and hopefully your eye captures the figure that or the graph that you're actually after. So
You know, and speaking of data sheets, we were this is another Twitter conversation, but we were talking about how people. I was asking how people read data sheets at the bench, and talking about like iPads versus tablets and everything like that. And I just wanted to call out this one because Paul Clark.
Oh yeah, this sounds cool.
This thing looks awesome. I mean, it
I haven't seen it yet. Where's the link?
There's
which number is it?
30 on our list, but it looks like probably the coolest product ever, but I'm pretty sure it's fake. I mean, it's just got to be fake. It's a $99 for a, you know, e-ink, and you can write on it, and it's 13-inch tablet, and you can store PDFs on it, and it just seems like the dream tablet, but it's vaporware right now, or as they call it in the this article, buzzware, because it's all buzz.
Right, yeah. It looks like a rendered product. Rendered it.
But if it was real, I mean, just anyone, just make it. I don't care. I'll pay three times that. I'll pay eight times that. Like, it looks amazing. It's, you know, it's very catchy, you know, and in terms of like what an engineer could use on their bench, this is it, you know, like people.
This is it. I would buy one of these, absolutely.
And so we were talking about iPads, and I was asking about Kindles, and you have a Kindle,
and
you know, Kindle DX would be good for data sheets, but you know, data sheets is tough.
Yeah, because it's got a bigger screen, but still only 9-inch. It's not A4 size, so
yeah,
you know, or letter size, as the US is. Guys aren't in A4 yet, are you?
No, not yet.
Or the A sizes.
I call it 8.5 by 11. That's what I call it.
Right.
That's the inches for people that don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, so hopefully this, I don't know if this thing's going to come out, but I thought that was interesting just because you're mentioning data sheets.
If
people have other
ways. And there doesn't need to be much in it, though. I mean, it'd be nice if it had Wi-Fi, of course, so that you could wirelessly transfer stuff. And it'd have to have an SD card slot. But even if it just had an SD card.
And like a thousand other things.
You know, and you put the PDFs on there and it just read that, I would still buy it.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't have Wi-Fi or any other, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff in it, and because really there wouldn't be much. There'd be a low power processor to drive the display, and there's the display itself, and it's touch, of course, so it's got to have a membrane
for the pen, but because you need to be able to write on it. That's what this thing is for.
Because there's no keyboard. Well, you don't even need that. If it was just a document viewing device, you wouldn't even need the touch screen, which draws extra power.
That's true, but I think having a sketchpad too.
And it affects the display as well, because you've got to look through it.
Yeah.
So it.
I don't know. This got me really excited about stuff, and then I realized that there's a list on Wikipedia actually of all the available tablets, and none of them come even close to this, which also points out that it's probably fake. But
right,
man, it looks awesome.
Well, such a large e-ink display wouldn't be cheap.
No.
I guess.
Yeah, for $99.
But they're coming down in price with the Kindle driving it and all
the
other e-books. Because the e-ink display, we've talked about this before, and you called me on it. Once, but have you actually ever seen in person an e-ink display?
Yes, my mom has a Kindle.
Oh, and they're freaking awesome.
I know, they
just
are
the
so
contrast
awesome.
Of the
I know.
It looks like it's better than ink on paper, and no LCD will ever match that. Can't.
Yeah.
You know, and LCDs have been researched for and refined in manufacturing processes for 30, 40 years or something now, and they won't have not even gotten close, and they never will. E-ink just totally buried it overnight in terms of replacing paper.
Yeah.
So, but of course they can't do, you know, well, they can do color now, but they can't do high motion video and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So the high refresh
rate. It's a segmentation, but
I
was looking at it for just reading data sheets outside.
It's not going to kill LCD anytime soon.
Right.
But if you're doing it, and e-books would not be popular now if it wasn't for the e-ink display. I guarantee it.
I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it because people weren't reading it on LCDs before, even when there were products or reading on the computers.
The battery life is too low. But when the Kindle comes out and it's got a 1 month battery life,
yeah,
it's and
sick.
This display that's better than paper,
yeah,
you know, you go, hey, sold.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. So, yep, brilliant. So that's just great. I would definitely,
yeah,
definitely buy one of those.
I'll post a link to that, man. It'll have people drooling, but hopefully it'll come out at some point. But I don't know if it will.
Speaking of PDFs and data sheets,
yes,
I've probably ranted on this before, but I'm going to have another rant because I've had to look at so many data sheets. I hate manufacturers who do not save the PDF file name the same as the part number.
Oh yeah, so it's not in the name.
You know, instead of, you know, it's not a microchip MCP, you know, 5500 or something. It's a, call it, you know, an xyz1234.pdf.
Yeah.
What is
horrible.
That bullshit?
That's horrible.
You know, you've got to rename, if you want to download it to your hard, you've got to rename the damn thing so you can find it.
Yep.
Later. It's just crazy.
Yep.
Please, there's a couple of manufacturers that do this. Microchip's one of them.
Oh, those guys.
I could name a couple of them. There's like five or six at least that I encountered in my search that did that. And it's a real pain in the ass.
Yep.
Stop it.
Yep. So I'm going to try and squeeze in chip of the week before we go. I know we got a couple minutes left, but...
Oh, shit. Our 1 hour's up.
Yeah.
Our amp hour's up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let me just squeeze it in real quick, though, because I've heard about this, and it's a really cool chip. I had never heard of it before, so people know about...
And you're an analog guy.
I know.
This is hilarious.
I know. It's crazy. Have you heard of this kind of chip? Just before we actually showed it.
Of course I have.
Man, I don't know how the hell...
I heard of these back in the bloody 70s and early 80s, for goodness sake.
I don't know what it is. I've just slipped my mind or just never seen them. Anyways, a friend at work was telling me about these. So people know op amps. That stands for operational amplifier because you can add, subtract, and do all this analog math, right? Well, there's stuff missing from that, which is a multiplier. And I didn't realize, you know, I never just kind of never really thought about it. Just the stuff I've been doing is not required it. And
sure.
Yeah. So it's AD633 is a multiplier. And... You know, in itself, it doesn't sound like much up front. Okay, you're going to multiply two signals together. But when you think about the applications, that's pretty damn cool. And so the thing to look at this in this data sheet is that the application notes, it's all about like modulation, demodulation.
Yeah.
And that was why...
It's all that RF stuff.
Yeah, that was why I really haven't seen it much because I'm not modulating stuff, right? But man, it's cool. You can do some fun stuff, you know? Analog math.
Absolutely.
So...
Great chip. It's chip of the week.
Chip of the week. And I'm sure all the hams will, you know, chide me for not knowing this chip, but or other types that are like it. But, yeah, whatever. I'm just getting started, folks.
Right. Chris is just a noob.
I'm a noob. Yep.
With a double O.
So, do we have anything else this week? Anything else in the amp hour?
Not really. We had like 40 points or something.
Yeah.
And we didn't even cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, half of those.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Carry over to next week.
Yeah. Keep on dragging along with us. There's stuff from like 6 weeks ago on here.
Keep on trucking.
Yep. All right, so
as they say in the US, don't they?
Some people, not me.
Yeah, right. Guys who wear caps, those trucker
Yeah,
caps,
trucker
right.
hats, there you go. So if people have comments, we can always be reached on Twitter. Or leaving comments on the websites is always appreciated. Telling your friends so they crash our shiny new
server
because we have so many listens. That'd be great, too. And if you have any suggestions, we have a suggestions page, too. So hit us up on there.
Absolutely.
Well,
thanks
for
joining
week.
Us.
It's coulombs per second. Duh.